Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
Studies show that a substantial representation gap exists between the percentage of minority administrators and the makeup of our country. Every spring, I teach a hybrid course to PhD students titled College and University Presidency through the School of Education. I am a better leader and university president because of the lessons I learn from my students. These students are disrupting the status quo. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guests today are future higher education administrators and doctorate degree candidates, Brandy Jackson and Ernest Evans. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with you first, Ernest. You have a Doctor of Philosophy in Higher Education, Leadership and Policy Studies that you're pursuing. Why?
Well, I really do want to position myself to be in a better place to do for my family. I also have a fervent passion for the success of Black men in higher education. And I think that getting this doctorate degree, doing this research, producing literature, as well as being an administrator within the college campus is what will help me to be the best person I can be for those students, as well as for my family.
And Ms. Jackson, I'll pose the same question to you. What attracted you to this particular program?
Well, working in higher education for the last 12 years, it was really a next step. I know that I've always wanted to continue to work at HBCUs, previously working at Fisk, and also just being in Upper Bound when I was younger really has made an impact on why I needed to get my PhD. And so it's just been a great pleasure being here at Howard.
So speaking of, you know, when you were younger and kind of being in Upward Bound, et cetera, tell me a little bit about where you grew up and what were your early educational experiences like?
Well, great. So my grandfather, Jerry Jones Jr., really had a huge impact on me and my brother, making sure that we were going to college. We were 11 years old, and he was letting us know that we were going to college, whether we knew it or not. And so we were able to fill out an application for the Upper Bound program. I was able to get in. I have a twin brother. He did not get in. And so that really kind of made a trajectory for me. I was able to be in a pre-Upper Bound program called the STEP program at the University of Akron. Thereafter, I got into the Upper Bound program for 4 years, was able to see different colleges, but lived on campus at the University of Akron, homesick, you know, 15 minutes away from my house. But it gave me a great introduction to college, and there, that's how I found Fisk University, my undergraduate.
And you said you had a twin brother. He did not get in. It obviously affected your trajectory. When you look at the disparities in terms of education in this country today, what do you think about him not getting in, you getting in, the exposure you had, and the advantages that may have given you? What lens do you see that through?
I think, and I even tell him today, we are 35 years old, that education is still important, and I still think that he needs to get an undergraduate degree. But I know had he been in the Upper Bound program, that his life would have been in a different, he would have been able to see himself in a different view, making different choices.
Ms. Evans, you also hold a Master of Science in Education degree. And part of the research you looked at were the experiences of Black men on college campus that may have led to them not graduating. Tell our audience a little bit about that research.
So I took a lot of my focus both in my undergraduate and my graduate program to look at the successes of Black men. And one of the things that kind of, well, look at the successes and the failures of them in higher education. And one of the things that kind of spurred that interest was as I was also an Upper Bound too. So as an Upper Bound student, even as a college student, I realized that a lot of the Black men that were around me started with me but didn't finish. Mm. So when I graduated from college, I was only one of my friends that finished in 4 years. Everyone else took maybe an additional year. I have some few friends that graduated 2 to 3 years later, you know, different reasons. But we found that I looked mainly at their experiences, what kind of support that they need, what kind of issues they face on college campuses, dealing with stereotype, threat, self-doubt, things like that, and have been an advocate for, as well as worked for and created black male retention programs or black male initiatives at the different institutions I've worked at over time to kind of help combat that. At my previous institution, I was able to raise the retention of black students by 10% through doing different initiatives for the black men and the black women on that campus.
No, this is a very, very critical issue, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Less African-American men applied to medical school in 2014 than they did in 1978, just as an example. When you think of those interventions, which are the interventions you think work the best or should be explored, even if they have not been tried just yet?
I think within the Black Male Initiative programs, a lot of people do them in various different ways, but integrating them into the residence halls, integrating them through first-year experience courses, doing work, putting people in the residence halls with them, people that are supporting them literally 24/7. So I think really integrating into residence halls, associating it with a first-year experience course as well as a student organization, as many different levels and places we can reach them at to keep them at the institution, I think is very important.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today, Mr. Ernest Evans and Ms. Brandy Jackson. They are both doctoral students in our Higher Education Leadership and Policy Studies program here in the School of Education. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So back to you, Ms. Jackson. What types of leadership roles you are hoping this course will prepare you for in the future?
So one of the key passions that I really enjoy about this program is that we care about historically black colleges, of course, being here at Howard, but we really care about the 104. And so I think one of the key leadership abilities I really would like to hone on is fundraising. Being an alum of Fisk University and seeing many other universities, I've worked in fundraising at Trinity Washington University. And so I really want to be able to learn fundraising, to learn how do we increase, but also really learning how do we cultivate our alumni, to really make sure that they're informed, especially our young alumni. But it's the small things. It's the small things. I think sometimes we can get overwhelmed of the big picture that we need to raise $89 million. But it's really about those individuals who are giving the $5, who are coming to those small events that really pay off in the end. Those small notes of writing at the end of the year about our students, those all pay off. And the key thing is that our alumni really want to hear those ideas. And so I just really want to be able to be in those classes to kind of learn what are those strategic opportunities that we really need to apply to our HBCUs to make them stronger.
And I think you raise a critical issue. Fundraising, you look at endowments, Howard has the largest endowment amount, the HBCUs at $750 million. But that pales in comparison to, you know, the institutions who lead fundraising in this country, where the endowments are around $38 billion. So this is a very critical issue and could be transformative for all of us. Now, VPs for development of color, when you look across higher ed, are very few. Mm-hmm. And especially when you look at women as well.
Right.
Very, very few. What are your thoughts about gender disparities in higher education in terms of the hiring? We have very few women presidents among the HBCU presidents, at least not representative of the population. It improving, but not quite there yet. What are your views about that gender disparity?
Well, I think it's about being intentional about putting women faculty and women leaders in place. And I think that you do a great job of really constantly saying the next president, woman president, you know, so that we're all preparing to have that understanding that that can happen. But on the groundwork, I think it's really up to our faculty to really kind of push junior faculty, women faculty, to put in their head, hey, one day you can be dean, you know, and even to our students, one day you can be a dean. on the other end, about for fundraising, I think as well, we have to push our students to see a career within fundraising. I think a lot of times we can see the student being the doctor, being the nurse, but they also have to see themselves of being the fundraiser. So we actually have to train them by having them go to the fundraising office to make those calls and really kind of explaining, now this is the career road to being a fundraiser. So, but again, it's about being intentional and pulling that young lady to say, you can be a fundraiser and these are the opportunities to do so. So being a part of CASE, which is a fundraising organization here in Washington, D.C., those great opportunities really can show women to be the faculty and the fundraisers.
And just going back to Mr. Evans, when you look at what is happening with the underrepresentation of Black men just in general in the higher ed space, and obviously, again, when you look at leadership outside of the HBCUs, very, very few, what do you think are some of the interventions that can be applied today, probably in the K through 12, that would help get people even thinking about these opportunities?
We have to show students that college is an option. So programs like Upward Bound, like Gear Up, these programs are very, very important. Again, I'm a product of Upward Bound as well as Brandy. I was blessed to have an older sister that went to college that became an educator. She showed me that education was the way. She showed me, put a value for education in me. And we have to have more people like that. She's an educator herself. She works. She currently is a third grade teacher. So, you know, having schools and places that talk about going to college, that talk about the importance of it, that discuss it, that bring, we've had all kinds of students around Howard University for tours. So bringing younger students to these spaces, letting them see these spaces, letting them see themselves in this space. One of the blessings we have more recently is we're starting to see more Black students or more shows about Black students on TV about going to college. We have the show Grown-ish. You know, in my day, it was A Different World. Mm-hmm. So seeing that show is what taught me I'm going to college. It's what taught my sister. She's going to college. She showed it to me. Mm-hmm. You're going to college. And students seeing those things will help them.
So certainly exposure to more role models is key.
Definitely.
So as we close, tell my audience, why Howard? Why getting a doctorate in higher education, leadership, and policy studies is the right thing to do today?
Howard University is the Mecca in several different aspects. So currently on campus, I also serve as the coordinator of fraternity and sorority affairs. So being here, where five of the Divine Nine organizations are historically Black fraternities and sororities were founded, is a dream. And I'm blessed to be able to do it. But also every interaction I have with a student, I have the opportunity to be working with the next Felicia Rashad, the next Chadwick Boseman, the next Taraji P. Henson, and to know that I have the opportunity to sow that seed into that student is something that is unmeasurable. I didn't get that opportunity for undergrad or master, so I took it for my PhD, and I'm happy and blessed to be part of this program.
And same question for you, Ms. Jackson. Why Howard?
Well, I know that, number one, after I left Fisk University, that I knew that I wanted to be at another HBCU. Like some people feel that they're called to be doctors, I know that I'm called to be an administrator, higher education administrator, specifically at HBCUs. So being in the health program has really trained me and continuing to train me to do the work. I think that if we were years from now were to see Howard to go away, we would not be doing the good work. And so I think that the good work starts here. I think that we are a model for the 104 HBCUs. But beyond that, when you look at a lot of the HBCU histories, W.E.B. Du Bois, so many folks have been on this campus and other campuses. It's an honor to serve here. And so I'm very happy to be here. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for being here. My guests today have been two doctoral candidate students in our Higher Education Leadership and Policy Studies program in the School of Education. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.